Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue our examination of the history of heresy by looking at the fourth verse of Jude. So let's read that verse again together. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, we're continuing to study about who these certain persons that Jude talks about here in verse 4 were by studying the seven major groups of heresy. And today I want to complete our look at Socinianism, which is the seventh major heresy to attack the church back in the 16th century. On our last broadcast, I mentioned to you that Socinianism glorified the mind of man and brought rationalism or rational thinking or rational criticism to the world. Rationalism is the false teaching that salvation can come through the knowledge of spiritual matters alone, without the blood of Jesus, without supernatural miracle of God's grace. Rationalism teaches that people can educate themselves out of sin, and this false teaching has infiltrated the modern church. For example, we must remember that we cannot think ourselves to be rich as the mind science people teach. We cannot think ourselves to be pure, neither can we think ourselves out of sin. To elevate the mind beyond its biblical position is heresy, and is to give the mind more power and authority than God does. Beloved, you must know that you cannot educate yourself out of sin. You cannot praise your way out of sin. Neither can you bring yourself out of sin. The removal of sin from the life of any human is the sole work of God and is a miracle and is done through the means of repentance and the washing of the pure blood of Jesus Christ. The only way that we can be free from sin is through repentance, and I cannot stress that enough. Many today in our modern church believe that positive confession has power enough in itself and by itself to change all things. It does not. That is a misuse of the concept of confession and an unscriptural approach to solving problems, and is the result of the rationalism that Socinianism brought forth in the 16th century. Listen to me. Attitude means a lot. A proper attitude, a godly attitude, a biblical attitude is essential to do many things in this life. But the Socinians placed way too much emphasis on the mind of man at the expense of the sovereignty of God, and that warped the proper role of the human mind. Thinking certain thoughts do not, by themselves, remove sin from the soul of man. Only Jesus forgives sin. Thinking certain thoughts cannot by themselves make you rich, nor can they make you healthy, nor can they solve all of your problems. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. God moves sovereignly in the heart of man. The Spirit of God moves throughout the earth and convicts people of sin and draws these people to Jesus. God the Holy Spirit regenerates their dead, sinful hearts, allows their eyes to see, allows their ears to hear the gospel as it is preached. Jesus washes these born-again souls in his own blood, and then God declares them to be righteous. All of this is done without any help or aid or assistance in any way from man. God does all of this alone and sovereignly, without man wanting it, without man asking for it, without man contributing in any way or cooperating with God. Man does not, quote, make a decision, unquote, in order for God to save them. God makes the decision all by himself to save fallen man. Men do not cooperate. Men do not assent. Men do not choose. Men do not seek this. Almighty God sovereignly saves sinful souls all by himself and all through himself and all for his own glory. Now, your attitude, your will, your mind, your desires, your choice never enters into the picture until after You have been born again. You didn't choose God when you were lost. God chose you. You didn't seek after God before you were saved. God sought for you. You didn't even want to be saved. God wanted you. You didn't love God. God loved you. You didn't have the right attitude to be saved. Your attitude and your mind and your thoughts, but when you were lost, were as corrupt and fallen and sinful as the rest of you. Beloved, salvation is a supernatural miracle of love and grace from a good and sovereign God to a lost soul who is unable to save himself. It is all of God and none of us, and that is why God deserves and has earned all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks for our salvation. The Bible is clear. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We don't contribute a single thing to our own salvation. Salvation is not mostly of God and somewhat of man. Salvation is not 99% of God and 1% of man. Salvation is not of works. It is not of any works, not even a little bit of works. We don't take the first step and God takes all the rest, as so many teach today. That is not scriptural. God takes all the steps or we don't get saved at all. God didn't do his part, and now it's up to us to do our part. That is not scriptural either. God did his part, and then he did our part too. The Bible says salvation is not of any human works. God does it all, and we contribute nothing, and that is why we are totally and completely indebted to him for our salvation. The modern teaching that says that the mind of man has the power to alter his own environment by the sheer force of his own intellect or attitude is witchcraft, pure and simple, and is not godly behavior. People did not get this theology from the Bible. They got it from the heretics back in the 1500s. We who belong to the Lord Christ must be careful that the way that things get done is that we humbly ask God in the name of Jesus to move on our behalf and not take on ourselves the things that are reserved solely for God to do in the earth. The notion that we have some kind of sleeping giant inside of us that needs to be awakened and that salvation is nothing more than equipping us to fulfill our own destiny is a 430-year-old Socinian heresy and is not in your Bible. The only giant that lives inside of lost man is the giant of sin, and the only destiny that we are to fulfill after we are saved is Christ's destiny. We don't come to Christ to fulfill our dreams. No, we come to Christ to die to ourselves, to decrease, to crucify our flesh, to die to our own will, to mortify the deeds of our body, and to humbly bow our knees to God and to cry out, "Not my will, but thine be done." So that we can be empowered to fulfill Christ's dream. We are not masters of our own destiny. That is a lie. That is deception. Christ is the master. We are not in charge. Christ is in charge. We are not saved so that we can be rulers. No, we are saved so that we can be bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not high and mighty. We are low and needy. We are not champions. We are sinners saved by grace. Now, I know that this is going to curl some of your hair and make you not invite me to your Christmas parties, but God really doesn't care what our plans are. His plan for us is far greater and more important and far wiser and more glorious than anything that we could possibly imagine. But the Socinian error has made us forget that we are the servants and that Jesus is the master. We have forgotten that he is God and we are flesh. He is the creator and we are the creation, that he is right and we are wrong. He is up, we are down. He is immortal, we are mortal. He is above, we are below. He is spirit, we are flesh. He is omnipotent and we are so very limited. He is faithful, we are unfaithful. He is correct, we are incorrect. God is Father, God is Almighty, God is sovereign. God is righteous, holy, pure, glorious, majestic, magnificent. Nothing is like God. No one is like God. He is different from everything that he made, and he is God, and there is none like unto him. From the garden until now, men have sought to be like God. They have sought to take God's place. They have sought to replace God's will with their own will. They have sought to do things contrary to the way that God said to do them. Adam sinned because he didn't like the way God was running the Garden of Eden. Esau sold his birthright because he wasn't happy being in the chosen family. Lucifer rebelled in heaven because he didn't think God was running heaven correctly. Judas betrayed Jesus because he didn't like the way Jesus was bringing in salvation to the lost. The Socinians played on the carnal nature of man. They deceived men through their own desire to be gods. They elevated man's importance in their own eyes, and many took the bait. They fed man what man wanted to hear, and men heard these heretics and believed their lie and were deceived. This 400-year-old heresy of Socinianism is alive and well today. You can hear it from many of the false teachers who promote man's own inherent goodness. You can hear it when the false prophets tell people that the new reformation is to build up self and that health and prosperity are all a matter of attitude. You can hear it from the deceivers who teach that we can improve our own position in life, our own well-being, our own success without God and without repentance and without the blood. Now, the greatest modern prophet of the heresy of Socinianism was a man named Norman Vincent Peale, who espoused the power of positive thinking. This so-called therapeutic gospel or self-help gospel removed the cross and grace and repentance and sin and salvation from the hearts and minds of millions, as it taught that man was capable in and of himself to better himself and improve his status and even redeem himself through the power of his own thoughts and attitude. Here are some of his quotes. Quote, change your thoughts and you change your world. Quote, formulate and stamp indelibly on your mind a mental picture of yourself as succeeding. Hold this picture tenaciously. Never permit it to fade. Your mind will seek to develop the picture. Do not build up obstacles in your imagination. Peale's false pronouncements almost single-handedly brought forth an entire industry of teaching and books and even entire ministries that focus on the here and now instead of eternity, that focus on the self instead of God, that focus on happiness instead of holiness, that focus on material possessions instead of eternal glory, that focus on health instead of salvation, that focus on wealth instead of being blessed, that focus on feeling good about yourself rather than repenting of sin, that focus on getting ahead in this life as opposed to getting saved. Peale took the extremely popular but completely godless concept of self from the Jewish atheist Sigmund Freud and brought it into the church. Today it is common to hear entire sermons and tapes, books and messages that teach about self-esteem, self-worth, self-fulfillment, self-help, self-actualization, self-happiness, self, 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 self. You would think that as much as the modern church preaches about these things, that you could find them somewhere in the Bible. But of course, they're not in the Bible. In fact, the very opposite of the doctrine of self is found in the Bible. Let's look at Matthew 16:24, for example. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Hard to find the building up of self in that verse, isn't it? Or how about Matthew 16:25? For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Or Matthew 16:26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Beloved, we need to humble ourselves and return to biblical Christianity. We need to return to the authority of Scripture. We need to wake up and realize that if something appeals to our carnal flesh, that means it's bad, it's wrong, and sinful. Well, I'm out of time for today, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.